So the idea is, the beginning of each year, we the elders, the five of us, the five amigos, we seek the Lord on what it is that we believe He's leading us into for the new year. And so over the next two Sundays, we're going to sort of envision that for the church to understand it and to know where we're headed and what we're believing in and what the Lord is saying. What always amazes me is how much, with our conversation between each other, really, the Lord puts a direction, but we're going and we're just expressing it a little differently, which is beauty. And I love to see the golden thread, as I would say, that flows through it. So for the next 2 weeks, all of the elders will come and share a bit. And then on the 22nd, I think that is, we will start a new series, just to give you an idea of where we're headed. And so Pastor Kevin is going to come and share what he feels the Lord is taking us into.
Just to preface this, and Mark and I had a joke about this. Sometimes you get prophetic words when we do this. We've been doing it for quite a few years now. And in years past, it's felt a lot more, I wouldn't say easier, but easier. But for whatever reason, this year, it was a struggle. Almost to be like, God, what are you doing? And why is this taking so long? but then I just remembered that sometimes God doesn't just give you a new prophetic word just because it's a new year. But sometimes maybe there's unfinished business. And so just because it's a new year, let's always have a heart to be open, saying, God, okay, well, it's a new year. Well, what are you trying to do this year? And not expecting a new thing. I just want to start off with Ephesians 1:10, chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, here we go, we have received an inheritance from God. For He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. The first thing that I wanted, that I sense that God say for us this year, is that it is a season of living in our inheritance. And I just want to read Numbers. The main text will be Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And it says, "The Lord now said to Moses, 'Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land that I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes.' So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran." I'm going to just drop down to verse 17. It says, "Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls, or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring samples of the crops you see. It happened to be the season for harvesting the first ripe grapes." So they went up and explored the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near Lebo Hamath. Going north, they passed through the Negev and arrived at Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, all descendants of Anak, lived. The ancient town of Hebron was founded 7 years before the Egyptian city of Zoan. When they came to the valley of Eshcol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. They also brought back samples of the pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol, which means cluster, because of the cluster of grapes the Israelite men cut there. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. Even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they were too." You see, I sense the Lord calling us to take hold of, possess, and live in the inheritance that he has purposed for us. You see, we've been given this glorious inheritance because of what Christ has done. And instead of living from that place, we choose to live from a place of poverty, aka lack. And so what is this inheritance? Well, I'm just going to give you a few because there's just too many to go through. But let me remind you, it's healing, it's deliverance, it's freedom, it's victory, it's being a son and a daughter. It's about us having the mind of Christ. It's us being joint heirs with Jesus. It's about us walking in the fruit of the Spirit. It's walking in the fullness of Christ. It's us walking in favor. Us being seated in heavenly places. Us having a sound mind. You see, verse 1, it says this. It says, "The Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites." And so you see, you have to understand that for the Israelites, this was probably one of the most strategic times for them as a people. They've gone through the months of preparation. They've been in the wilderness. They've heard years about this promised land, but they've never had the opportunity to see it. Now was their time. And here's the thing, is that God already told them, "I'm giving it to them." So I don't know where they got confused. How many of us can relate to that? That sometimes God says, "Don't worry, I'm going to do this in your life." And we just forget. We're like, "Oh my gosh, God, I'm freaking out. Why am I..." But God said, "No, I'm going to give it to them." And then Moses sends out the spies just as the Lord commanded him to do. He gives them specific instructions. The promised land for us, living in our inheritance, is essential for us to be a fruitful people. And the second thing I sensed was that it was a season for us to be fruitful. And I don't know about you, but for me this year, what I sense is almost that there's an urgency in the Spirit for the church, for us, sons and daughters, individually as your families. There's an urgency in the Spirit for us to live according to what Christ has set before us. Amen. Verse 23, it says, "When they came to the valley of Eshcol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. Man, that would be awesome to see. They also brought back samples of the pomegranates and figs. You see, back in these times, fruitfulness of a land in those times were always a sign of how well the land was doing agriculturally. If you looked at the land and saw how fruitful it was, you knew, hey, man, that's a good piece of land over there. The sign of real maturity is how well this land is doing agriculturally. How is this land doing? How is this land doing? How well are we cultivating in order to be fruitful? It's something that the Lord always questions me on. What are you cultivating? How are you cultivating? Why? Because cultivating always, the way you cultivate is always a sign of, are you going to reap good fruit or are you going to reap bad fruit? And so we need to be a people that is fruitful in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our speech. Even for some of us, I sense the Lord saying, I'm going to be dealing with your thoughts and your speech. The way you talk about people. Yeah, we're going there. The way you talk about your employer. The way you talk about your colleagues. The way you talk about your kids. The way you talk about your spouse. We have to, this year, there's a real sense that this, we're going to be taught how to tame it properly. And the third thing, a season of having courageous faith. I think for some of us, we've lost how to have courageous faith. And we can blame it on the pandemic, and yeah, that was there. But God never intended for things in our life to happen to kind of dilute what faith actually means. You see, I believe that God used the report of the spies as a test of Israel's faith. Remember, God sent them, said, go spy out the land. Do you think that he probably knew what the report was going to be? And that would be a prophetic picture of what the Israelites, who they were. 40 is the number of testing. They were out there for 40 days. And so 40, every time you see the number 40 in the Bible, it's in the context of a test. And so what were the spies' report? What is our report? And whose report will we believe this year? Whose report will we believe this year? See, Caleb quieted the people. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. We need some Calebs again. And once again, did God promise to give this land to the people of Israel? Yes. So God's faithful promises demands courageous faith. I'll say that again. God's faithful promises demands courageous faith. Caleb quieted the people because he didn't want to allow the unbelief and doubt to overwhelm truth. And so I sense an urgency in the Lord for us as a people to trust his word and in his promises this year. Part of our maturity in Christ is learning that faith is not about getting things. Yeah. But the Bible says that we need faith to please God, to live a godly life. We need faith to do things in the kingdom. We need faith to be great parents. We need faith to be great in our marriages. We need faith to be good colleagues. We need faith in every kind of situation in our life. And so when we talk about inheriting the promises that God has made available through Christ for us, We are learning to accept and appropriate God's promises through faith and not squandering our inheritance due to fear. See, the 10 spies compared themselves with giants, while Joshua and Caleb compared the giants with God. And then we just jump over to Numbers chapter 14. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted among themselves. Let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, "The land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into the land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." And so the whole community began weeping aloud. I sense the Lord say that there are some who are grieving from what could have, should have, and would have been. And I sense the Lord say, no more grieving. It's time to go. For some of us, we want to go back to the way things were before COVID, the way things were in another aspect of our life. If we can turn back time. I'm sorry, honey, time doesn't turn back. It's time to move forward. We've grieved so much of our past that we can no longer see our future. And that's what happened to them. They couldn't see their future. And can I encourage us in 2023, it's time for us to open our eyes and see the future. And then I'll end with this, chapter 14, verse 10. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. And verse 11, and the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me, even after all the miraculous signs I have done among them?" And this was the last thing I sense. I sense the Lord say, lastly, I also sense the Lord wanted to remind us in this season to have a posture, position of remembering. See, we don't always need a prophetic word or people praying for us. Those are good things. These things are good. However, sometimes we just need to remember all that God has done for us. And that is a weapon against the enemy. All through the Old Testament, you saw Abraham, David, Noah, they all built altars. Why? So that way they would always remember them encountering God at that place. And for some of us, I think we've lost remembering. I think God just wants to encourage us once again to start remembering the goodness and kindness that he's shown to us over the many years. I did say the last thing, right? That's the whole preacher thing. This is the last thing. I sense that for some in 2022, for some of us in 2022, it was a time for us to cross over the Jordan. But some of us allowed ourselves to get crossed up instead of crossing over. And I sense the Lord almost giving us as a people another chance to cross over and step out from old habits, old mindsets, and to step into a land flowing with milk and honey.
So you all have to know this is the first time that I've heard this as well. So this is not like a collusion time. I loved the selection of the songs this morning. I loved the direction the prophetic took us in. I love what Kevin... I feel like I'm a kid in a candy store. I'm like... I'm excited for 2023, and I hope you will all be excited for 2023. When we commenced 2022, we had a sense of Carpe Diem moving forward. And the overall idea was gained from the collective of what the elders had spoken last year, this time last year, and whether the Lord, what the Lord was leading us into. And over the devastation of 2020 and 2021, whether you suffered physically, whether you suffered socially, whether you suffered economically, whether you suffered spiritually. However, that has taken and did take a toll and is still taking a toll on some people. But his call to us was still to bring heaven to earth. His call was still for us to be advancing the kingdom of God. We started with that, the series Carpe Diem, and we ended up with maturity, the school of the Spirit. And if you don't get this, as an eldership, we don't just like, well, what's the next coolest thing we should preach on? We try to build into the congregation's lives as we go through each year. And so it's not just random, it's truly seeking God and where we should go. And so while doing this exercise for us during December of 2022, we're going to make sure we get our years right. I really felt the Lord say to me the word that he gave me, and he normally over the years just only gives me one word, and I'm like, thanks, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? But the word he gave me for this year was advance. And if you listen to half of what Kevin is saying, that's pretty much it. And what does it mean to us to advance? Because there are many different ways where you can spiritually advance, physically advance. We spent time this morning praying for healing and for us to understand. And we've been doing the, we ended with growing in God and maturing. And that's all an ongoing process for us. Jeremiah 46:3 says, prepare buckler and shield and advance for battle. If we didn't know it by now, we should know by now, we are in a battle. And sometimes we lose a little bit and sometimes we gain a little bit. But it should never be just sitting down waiting. We are meant to advance the kingdom. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God's prepared beforehand. They're already done. It's not like, oh, now what are we going to do with so-and-so or so-and-so? There are good works prepared that we should walk in them. Not stand in them, not sit in them, not lie in them, but walk in them, which means advancing, going forward in the things that God is for us. Philippians 1:12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, the context of what Paul is writing, he's writing Philippians from jail. He's been beaten, he's been chained, he's thrown in jail. And instead of having pouty face and I'm all depressed and unhappy here, he says, man, this has been a blessing and a power for me to be here in prison that I could write this. It means he is not out of the will of God because he was in prison. And some of you have lived there in a sort of prison type of thing. Doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. Even in the worst of circumstances, he was instrumental in advancing the kingdom of God. When we have, and Kevin, the number of things Kevin said, I was like, oh, how did he hear, know that? When we have our heads and our hearts in the right place, focus on the right person, Jesus, and we have the right attitude, we will grow, we will develop, we will advance, and we will mature as we advance the gospel. Philippians 3:12 says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. He starts off in this verse 12 of, not that I've already obtained what? What is Paul talking about that he hasn't already obtained? Well, he hasn't, what he's telling us, he hasn't attained full maturity yet. He hasn't obtained full holiness, full purity. However, I am still pressing on. I'm advancing to the goal. I want to advance in Christ Jesus, in the pursuit of Christ Jesus. Now, of course, there are different aspects to this advance. We're giving you the broad umbrella, what we feel as a church is what Lord is taking us in. But you individually as family should go home and say, what is the area that we should advance in this year? It might just be simply attending the meetings regularly, coming to prayer meeting, getting connected in a connect group, serving somewhere. It might just be simply, well, as a family, we're going to read the word and pray together this year. Whatever it is, we see here there's one truth but two aspects. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward. So let's have a look at forgetting what lies behind. Now we have to understand we are unable to press forward or to advance until we leave behind the past. You know, I don't know if you, some of you will remember, you know, in South Africa, the baboon, they take a little gourd and they dig a little hole and they leave some pips inside and then they chain it to a tree and he comes and he sticks his hand and closes his hand. And then when the farmer comes with the long thing to shoot him, he performs and screams but will not let go of this. Now, for if we're going to advance, we need to let go of this so we can step into the new thing. Thank you. Poor Lot's wife couldn't forget the past, you know, and couldn't leave what lay behind. She needed one just last glance. I needed one more last look before we go. And she turned into a pillar of salt, salty, crusty, and waterless, dried out. She was warned, but she chose not to listen. In Isaiah 43, it says, remember not the former things. Don't consider the things of old. I'm doing a new thing. Don't you perceive it or don't you get it? When we forget and leave behind, we are able to advance in all aspects that God is calling us into. So what is it that we should forget and leave behind? And the way I've put it, I think is a more positive thing, is to advance from former successes and failures. We can't live on all our old successes all the time. And then beat ourselves up because of our past failures. Advance from them. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, I got this. I can do this myself. You can't. I can't. All the elders can't. All the deacons can't. It also means you can't. We have to rely on Jesus Christ. I put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then Paul goes on to give you his reasons why he has more. And he says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. The people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. I mean, I can just, you know, as I'm doing this, I can see Paul going, I'm a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. Yes, I got that. This is his pedigree. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Tooting his own horn here. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. I have no confidence in my flesh, my skill set, my pedigree. He says it meant, I know in King James Version it says dung. You know what that means. For us to advance, we don't count on our pedigrees or our skill sets. We use them for the kingdom of God. We forget our successes. There's no boasting in that. Now, I remember in 1984 when the Lord did this for me. We want to know what God did for you in 2023 on the 8th of January. Forget your failures, your sin issues. Don't dwell on things that you might perceive as a failure. Grasshoppers. We look like grasshoppers. How do they know what they thought? That was their inferiority sticking up. Their insecurities coming out. We just looked like grasshoppers in their eyes. We can repent of that stuff. We can change that stuff. And if you haven't been baptized, Carmichael already said we're going to do a baptism on February the 5th, so get ready for that. Speak to Kevin. God, in all of his infinite wisdom, has the power to choose to forget your stuff and not hold it against you. I know people think, well, God just forgets. No, he doesn't. God, trust me, God doesn't have to forget. He chooses not to remember your sins. The second thing I want to talk about for us to advance is advance from your former tragedies and losses. Now, be careful how I put this. Please listen carefully. Don't go and give me the fifth version of what you thought I said. Tragedies and losses come in various forms. Loss of a loved one. A business. A dream. A partnership. A marriage. I'm not being insensitive to your tragedy or your loss. And I don't say this lightly to ignore your pain. 18 years ago today, at this moment in time, my mother was translated into glory. 18 years, haven't you forgotten? Haven't you? No, it was my mom. You know, am I okay with that? Yeah, I'm okay with it because I'm going to see her one day. But I'm not trying to belittle what you might be feeling as a loss or a tragedy. What I wanted to say is for us to advance in Jesus, allow the healer to heal you of your wounds and your pain. Remember, he is El Roy, the God who sees all your trials and afflictions. Does God even know how I feel? Yeah, he does. He's El Roy. He is also Jehovah Rapha. He is your healer. Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for our sins, bruised for iniquities, chastised for our peace, and by his stripes we are healed. From Isaiah 61, the prophet of comfort, prophesying again, says, it's in comfort and restoration, he promises he will comfort all who mourn. Instead of ashes of mourning, he will give us his beauty. Instead of mourning itself, he gives us his oil of joy. Instead of the spirit of heaviness, he gives us his garments of praise. Number three, we are to advance from former hurts, disappointments, and offenses. We need to learn for 2023, if you want to advance, to learn the art of forgiveness. You know, unforgiveness is like drinking arsenic and thinking the other person's going to die. It eats you up from the inside out. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. The heart of your offense is revealed by the depth of your maturity. Well, I'm just offended. Well, we know what the Bible says when you're offended. She says, go to the person that offended you and talk to them. Don't hold grudges and harbor anger or resentment. Forgive and move on, not in arrogance, but in humility. We want to advance in 2023, and we want to get over the hurts and the disappointments and the offenses and all the stuff that Kevin spoke about. One statement, two aspects, two truths. The second part is straining forward to what lies ahead. If we can advance and put aside those three things that I just spoke about, this straining forward means stretching forward to advancing, to take hold of, making an effort, not just leaning into or going with the flow. That's easy, just get in the river and just go with the flow. No, we need to strain forward, stretch forward, go for it. Do you know that conservatism is one of the killers in the church today? We'll just be so conservative in what we do and say, but do and say the right things, as Kevin said. What are you looking forward to personally for stretching into for 2023? I'll just do like 22 and 20 and 21. You will not advance, you will not grow, you will not mature. You will look back and off the end of the year and go, should have, would have, could have. So share some thoughts for us stretching or straining forward. Number one, the pursuit of Jesus. Philippians 3:7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Now you have to understand at this stage of Paul's walk, this was 30 years, plus minus 30 years down the road, and now he has this revelation. I count everything as loss. I leave behind my successes and failures. I leave behind my tragedies and losses. I leave behind my hurts, my disappointments and offenses. Why? All for the sake of Christ, for the King and his kingdom. Anything that will hinder my advance, I want to put that in the rearview mirror. I'm not saying don't remember stuff. I'm saying don't allow it to hinder you. 18 years later, I know today was the day my mom died. But that doesn't hold me in a place. I still am able to walk forward in Christ Jesus. Whenever I'm called to advance his kingdom, I will function out of his power within me. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his suffering, becoming like him in death. Whenever I seek a deeper knowing, not just a knowledge of Jesus or of the Father, the Holy Spirit, but a knowing, a relationship, gnosis, epigenosis. Gnosis is just knowledge. Epigenosis means I have a functioning understanding of who he is. Whenever I seek a deeper knowing, his Spirit will reveal that to me. Number two, we pursuit of his passions. Philippians 1:29, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Oh, thank you, Pastor. We don't really want that one. A deep relationship, we are willing to take up your cross daily and be counted in his family. And it might bring you into areas where you will be unpopular with people for the sake of Jesus. Philippians 3:12, not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And Ephesians says, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died with you in mind while you were sinning and behaving badly. In the NIV, it says, Christ has taken hold of me. Before we claim and took hold of Christ, He had already made me his own by the finished work of the cross. Jesus laid hold of us to make us a new creation. Jesus laid hold of us to conform us into his image. Jesus laid hold of us to make us witnesses for him for the sake of the gospel. Jesus laid hold of us to make us instrument in the conversion and the ministry of others. Jesus laid hold of us to bring us into suffering. Can we leave that one out, please? Jesus laid hold of us that we might attain the resurrection from the dead. Number three, last one, the pursuit of the prize from Jesus. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We have to understand the prize is the call itself. You've given your life to Jesus, that's the call, the upward call of him. One day, it's kingdom now, kingdom later. The upward call on earth while we're living and glorying and bringing heaven to earth, and one day to be seated in, well, spiritually, we're already seated in heavenly places, but one day to be seated with him. His kingdom now and his kingdom later. And then when I was preparing all of this stuff and had this word, I was reminded of the word that Louise had at the Equip. So I asked her to send it to me, and so she sent it to me. So I'm just going to close with it for us. I saw a picture of a vast army gathered, Jeremiah 4, whatever, the 13, I think, made up of men and women waving different colored flags, red, blue, purple, white. Looking closer, I saw these men and women standing shoulder to shoulder, also holding a shield and a sword in each hand, waiting, expectant, ready for a command in front of this army. I saw a man on a horse riding back and forth, someone read that this morning, saying one command three times, advance, advance, advance. In Hebraic scripture, when it says it more than once, three times, it means you need to pay attention to this. The sense I had was the kingdom of God is advancing here on earth, and each of us has a vital part to play in advancing. Each of us need his word, his sword, and faith, his shield, to advance where he wants us to go. The men and women standing shoulder to shoulder gave me the sense of doing things in unity, not fighting or advancing on our own or in our own strength, but together. And so I leave that with you today. Next week, the other three elders will share their thoughts on what the Lord is saying to us. And so be expectant, and let's just stand together, please. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord God, we thank you for a new year. Father, we acknowledge that you do not work in calendar years like we do, but Lord God, that your word is ever true, and that your voice to us would be ever clear. And so God, we ask for that. In the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord God, that as we take these words of inheritance and crossing over and a legacy and changing the way we think in head and heart, Lord God, and choosing this, that as we advance in this, Lord God, that we would constantly see you at the head, that we would run hard after you, Lord God, not after our own clever ideas, but after you, Lord. Father, that you would make clear the way for us, that you would open the path for us, Lord God, to walk through as a body of believers, as a family, as a church. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.